I am just thrilled with the series that we're doing on Unchained. I'm thrilled with the fact, the theme of it. And so today, thank you for being in the service. Thank you for sharing this time with me and worshiping together. And thanks to those who will be listening online just a little bit later today once we get it up and posted. So that's great. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Philippians. And we read the text earlier, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And so in this series that we're in, as we go through the New Testament book of Philippians, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to believers, and he wrote it to the church that was in the city of Philippi, and to the believers that were there who sort of made up that church. And he wrote this letter while he himself was in prison in Rome for his faith. And as he was writing this letter from prison, he was helping us, even here today, through the inspired word of God, to realize that there are some chains that need to be broken within our lives today. You may have some chains personally in your life that you're struggling with, maybe some attitudes, maybe a thought life, maybe some behaviors, maybe some things that have been a part of your life, that chain just needs to drop off, and so that you can be free and to be everything that God wants you to be. And so that's our desire for you here at Spotlight, is that you would really be everything that God wants you to be. And so Paul's writing this letter from prison, physical prison, and trying to help us to break free so that we spiritually can be everything that God really desires of us. Now, as we jump into this text this morning, it's kind of a weird title, if I can put it on this. The title I will put on this message is the if and then statements. If and then. Because as you read this passage, which we did just a little bit earlier, it talks about if you received any encouragement, and if you have received any compassion or any comfort. And he talks about all these things that if you have received any of that, then you should do this. And so this message is kind of that if and then kind of message, where if you have really benefited in some way from the goodness of God, then it should impact your life. It should impact the way that you live. And so the if is kind of the hypothesis, if you want to put it that way, and the then is the conclusion. If this has been happening in your life, then this should be the way things unfold, or the conclusion that comes with it. And so that hypothesis and that conclusion is either true or false. And so the idea that I'm trying to sort of bring out of this passage today that I think the Apostle Paul is giving to us is the idea that the mark of truth, or the mark of integrity, the mark of authenticity, the mark of reality is really reflected in if all these things are true, then if it's really true, then it should really impact us over here. So the if and then. Okay, some of your eyes are glazing over, so we'll just hang on. We'll work it out together, all right? Let me give you some examples of how this sort of unfolds. If I turn off the water in the shower, then I'll stop getting wet. You see what I mean? If these things are true, and then this should happen, all right? If the population is 50% men, then the rest of the population should be 50% women. You guys are good. Oh, my land, that's really good. So, or if you meet someone with poor hygiene and matted hair and missing teeth and bad breath, then you know they're a Maple Leafs fan, right? Oh, sorry, okay. I thought that's how it works. All right. Just picking on you. See if you're awake. And so the if and then is what Paul is trying to do here in Philippians. If all of this is true, then it should be working out this way. And so today, let's kind of look at this and sort of pull it apart a little bit. So let's first of all look at the pivotal if. That's kind of where everything pivots on. And as you read that text that we read earlier, time and time again, especially in the first five verses, it talks about if. It's kind of that pivotal word that's there. And so let's get into this. And because in this second chapter, Paul writes, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship, if any tenderness and compassion, then, all right? So but before we get to the then, let's stop and let's sort of look at this word if a little bit within this passage. And so let's stop here before we get into it. So Paul, as he sort of talks about how to break the chains in your life, he says there's this if and then thing that you need to deal with. In other words, he's kind of setting up a scenario here that I think is critical for you and I to catch. And if you're around me very long, you'll discover that I do not believe that you just become a believer and you park yourself and you never grow again and you just kind of go through the routines. Matter of fact, I can't think of anything more boring and disgusting than trying to live a life like that. I'd rather not live it at all than try to live like that. And so Paul here is setting up a very interesting scenario and reminding us that if these things are happening in your life, then it should move you on to something else. And so the scenario is critical here, he's saying. So he says, if you draw anything, and again, think about your life today, if you draw anything at all from Christ, if you gain anything from his companionship, if you gain anything from his role modeling that you see within Scripture, if you gain anything from his presence or from his relationship with you, if there is anything at all that goes on between you and Jesus, even if you take time to whisper a few words, if you have any feelings at all towards Jesus and towards him, if any part of your heart beats with his, then some things ought to happen. And so as we look at this first part of this if, it really is reminding us here, and the Apostle Paul is doing this, is that if you feel anything positive at all towards Christ, if you have any kind of benefit from knowing about him or knowing him personally, if anything at all that is impacting your life today is from because of Jesus, then you ought to do this and this, which we'll get into a little bit. And as I thought about this text and as I thought about all the things that could come into our life if any of us have received anything that Christ has to give, I realize it really covers all of us. Whether you're a believer, a follower, or not, you have benefited, I have benefited from all that Christ has to offer. As a matter of fact, I'm realizing more and more, especially in my life, I grew up in a family that's totally unchurched. I don't even know of a grandfather or a grandmother. I don't know of anybody in my heritage who actually was a strong professing believer. There was some nominal church attendance back then because that was just a thing everybody did. But I don't know of anybody in my relatives that really was really what I would call excited and on fire for God. And as I thought about that, I realized that in my life earlier on, where did the drawing of Christ come into my life? And then I began to realize that I benefited because of God's goodness and his love and his compassion through my neighbors and through some other relatives indirectly. I started benefiting from God's goodness because of them. So think about it a moment. If you have anything at all that you've been enjoying from your relationship with God, and maybe you're here this morning and say, well, I'm not really fully devoted believer. I'm still sort of in that exploring stage. I think the fact that you're here is that you are benefiting somewhere along the way from all that Christ has to offer. And so all of us, probably in some way or another, we've benefited from all that Christ has to offer. And even if you don't call yourself a follower, you probably wouldn't call yourself a Christ hater. There are people today who are benefiting from all that Jesus has to offer, but yet they don't follow him with their whole heart. And so today, I think all of us benefit in some way or another from all the things that Christ has to offer. And so when you look at that if you've ever been on the receiving end of any encouragement through Christ, then you have sort of been a part of that first part of that equation, the if. And I want you to think about that this morning, because sometimes there are people today who realize and they say, you know, I'm really not too excited about church. I'm not excited about Jesus. I really don't want to follow him. but yet there's something that is sort of working away in their heart and their life. And I believe it's because somewhere along the way, someone has reached out to Jesus and has been a recipient of his compassion, even in a small way. And that compassion then has leaked down through generations and maybe even in your life and in my life. So today, as we look at this passage, there's the whole if equation, the very pivotal on how we really today, we do benefit because of what Jesus has done for us. And whether we're close to God or far from God, there are times that all of us benefit from a story that someone told about Jesus, or maybe someone that you encountered as a Christian who took time to encourage you and love you. And because they did that, you benefited from the goodness of God in your life. And you were encouraged maybe at a time when you needed it the most. The if. And so when Paul talks here, if, all of us, I think, have benefited from that, no matter where we are on this journey with Christ. So let's move to the next part. So in this passage, it talks about not just the if, then it talks about that decisive, okay, you got to make a decision here that if you receive this, then, okay, here's where you got to make that decisive then. And so let's read it in from verse 2. It says, then, if you receive all these, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. What is it that should follow in our life? What is it that should follow in my life because of the connections I've made with Jesus? Paul says here in a very decisive way that if all of these things you have been you have benefited from, then these things should happen. And so as you and I begin to look at this journey of being a believer, we need to realize that there's something about this that really should motivate us to press on. If you have received all these wonderful things, and I like to think that we think they're wonderful, then it should have an impact on us. Then that knowledge or that relationship should really begin to impact our lives, should begin to leak out in our lives in every other way. If God's goodness and compassion, his mercy and everything has touched your life, you cannot be left the same. I don't know how you are, but when I gave my life to Christ and I began to get exposed to it, I am not the same person that I was. And I don't want to go back to who I was. That's why the Bible says that, you know, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. Because when you, or if you have really encountered the living God, he's not going to leave you the same. That's why my heart aches, and I think this is where the Apostle Paul is going in this passage, is that there are a lot of people saying, you know, I believe in Jesus, I want to follow him, I want to do this or that, but yet their lives don't change. And so if this hypothesis is the way it should be, if, then our lives should be changing and should be impacted. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. In other words, it should overflow in your life. And so I want to encourage you this morning here at Spotlight that no matter where we worship, whether it's in a strip mall or whether it's in a hotel, no matter where we are, what we really need is let the impact of Christ flow through our lives and make a change in us. If we say we love Jesus and it doesn't change us, it doesn't matter where we worship, we will still be the same. I want to encourage us as we move forward that what we need as a church more than anything is to really let all the greatness of God just to come out through our lives and to leak out of our lives as we go out into the marketplace during the week, as we talk to our neighbors over the fence, whatever it may be, that Christ and the impact of all those things that he's allowed us to benefit from would just spill out into our lives. If your then doesn't flow from your if, then you're leading a false life. And I would say that very clearly, that if you profess the name of Jesus and all and have been they're on the receiving end of all of his goodness, but it hasn't changed you, there's something false about your life. And that's a pretty hard statement. I love the story, and I think it kind of illustrates it a little bit. Story I heard about Nikita Khrushchev. Pardon my Russian, it's not the best. who was the leader of communist Russia during the Cuban Missile Crisis in the 1960s. And no, I was just born, so I don't remember it. So don't ask me that, all right? And during that time, while the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on, there was also a huge corn crisis that was happening in terms of production. And so farmers during Russia at that time just weren't planting and raising enough of the country's needs. And they just weren't keeping up with what all the things they needed to do. But yet the farmers had the capability to plant more than enough corn, but just weren't doing it. And so Khrushchev, he assembled all the Russian farmers into the Great Assembly Hall, and behind a bank of microphones, he asked them if they were committed to solving the corn production problem. And they all raised their hands in affirmation. And then Khrushchev simply stared at them, and he let their hands hang in the air. And then finally he said, "Then where is the corn?" Now think about this story for a moment in terms of our faith. If in this community that we call Stratford, if there are so many believers that are so incredibly impacted by the grace of God, where is our corn? Where is the fruit of that? I share this message because I believe that there's missing ingredients. And the missing ingredient is this if and then. If we have been the recipient and we are so excited about Jesus, why isn't it impacting our community in a greater way? Tuesday nights in our life group, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit grows the church. And one of the things that we're just beginning to learn is that, you know, how can we go back to the New Testament days where thousands were added to the church daily? How come we don't see that happening in North America today? It's happening in the southern part of our world. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in our Asian countries. People are coming literally by the thousands to Jesus. But why is it happening here in North America? I think there's a disconnect between the if and the then that the Apostle Paul is trying to address. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that if you have been a recipient of all that God has for you, but it hasn't impacted your life in a greater way, then it's got to be hard because you're probably one of those people who's living the most artificial, inauthentic life imaginable. I think that, again, and I've said this before, that there are lots of people today who have just enough religion to make themselves miserable and probably the people around them miserable. We need to let the love of God flow through us such incredible ways that it impacts and leaks out in every part of our life, and that it profoundly impacts our community. The Jesus himself, he had to say this. He says, not everyone, from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, he says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually, and notice this phrasing, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but I will reply, I never knew you. And those are pretty incredible thoughts to think that people could say, Lord, Lord, and still not know the Lord that they talk about. So today, here at Spotlight Church, I want us to be fired up in our faith. I want us to realize this if and then. If we have been encouraged by Jesus, if we have been encouraged by one another, if we have benefited from his love and his compassion, then it should flow through our lives. It should change who we are, literally, not only for eternity, but also right here, right now, today. It should change us. And James goes on and talks about, he says, does merely talking about your faith indicate that a person really has it? Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it do to them? And of course, from the message, it says, use your heads. And so that's James chapter 2, verses 14 and 19 from the message. And I just thought it was neat. So today I want to encourage you that in this day and age in which we live, the Apostle Paul, even as he was writing to the church of Philippi, he's saying, listen, you know, I want to address a specific breakdown that is happening within the church. He's saying there is a belief that you say you have, and then there's your behavior. There's a belief, then your behavior that don't match. You say you know this, but yet you do this. You say this, but yet you live this way. And so, folks, I want to encourage us that as we endeavor to reach 1/10 of this city for Jesus Christ, our community is desperately looking for some authenticity that they can look to and say, wow, there's a place where the gospel is truly making an impact. And I believe if we live that way, if we are truly connected to the living God, then we will reach 1/10 of our city for Christ, no problem. The power of the living God will flow through us. But we will never, ever be the kind of church God wants us to be if there's a disconnect between our belief and our behavior, our knowing and our doing, our saying and our living. It'll never happen. So the Apostle Paul, interestingly, he's writing this to a church that he himself planted. He's writing this as a Christian, talking to Christians, saying, listen, this disconnect must not happen. If you are so connected to this living Christ, then it must impact your life. And finally this morning, I think as you sort of walk through this passage a little bit, you got the if, you got the then, but you also have what I would say is Paul's biggest motive for talking about it. And that's number three, is unity. Unity. It all has to do with unity. He says in verse 2 there, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and notice this, being one in spirit and purpose. See the theme? And later on in the passage, he talks about how he humbled himself, even to death on a cross. He talks about the very nature of God and how he humbled himself and put himself in that position. And why did he do it? Is because so that you and I could be one. It's amazing today how fragmented and how broken the church is and how sometimes we go on as if it's absolutely normal. It is not normal to be disunified. It's not normal to be broken. It's not the way we should become comfortable. We should not become comfortable with being dysfunctional. We should never be that way. And so the greatest reason and that Paul is trying to get at here is that if you are benefiting from the love of Christ, then you should be this way so that we could all be together in unity. I believe God is speaking to us. I believe God's speaking to me. Let me just talk about me. Is that we would have unity in the body of Christ. Doesn't mean we compromise our value, our convictions, or our principles to get an artificial unity. I'm talking about real unity, where God breaks the chains down and brings us together. Even here at Spotlight, I believe that God still has a work to do in our hearts so that we still come together as a group of strangers, that we come together and that we love, truly love, and encourage one another. It's so easy Sunday after Sunday to flow in the doors, out the doors, but really not have that unity, that connection. If we have benefited from the compassion and love of God, then it should flow into our relationship, even here within our church and within other churches within our community. Some people, when they think Paul is going down this road, they think Paul is, you know, wanting to address all kinds of specific sins. You know, maybe he wants to address sexual issues. Maybe he wants to deal with marijuana. Maybe he wants to deal with porn or living together outside of marriage. All those issues are things that the church needs to talk about, and the Word of God is not silent on those things. But you know what? That's not what Paul is after. Paul's not looking to address a specific sin. He's looking to address the issue of unity, because what's going to keep us apart is not the sexual issues, but the pride issues. What will keep us apart is not the gluttony that people give themselves to, but the self-centeredness that dominates our everyday lives. It's not from, in our culture today, people thinking and talking about marijuana or getting high on marijuana. It's not what's going to keep us, our churches apart, but what will keep us apart is sometimes the lack of love that we have for one another. And see, really, the Apostle Paul is trying to help the Philippians to realize that the breakdown that can occur within any church, even Spotlight Church, the breakdown can occur is when we do not have a loving unity that is because of what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says, first and foremost, that a oneness of heart is absolutely essential. Essential. So today, as I share this and share this passage, and I'll just skip through a little bit, because I want you to notice the last part of that passage in Philippians 2, 5 to 8. It talks about your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And I close with this. If we're ever going to have unity, we've got to have the same attitude that Jesus had. What did Jesus do? Well, when you look at what he did himself and how he put himself in human form and how he came to earth, he walked away from his glory and he gave up his throne. Are we willing to do that so that we would have unity and so that we would be one? He turned his back on the status and the privileges that were due to him, and he laid it all down and became a lowly baby born in a manger, a stinky manger. He gave it all up because he wanted his church to be one. He took on the form of a servant. He took on the form of a slave. He came as one who was poor and lowly. In fact, when you begin even this coming Christmas that's around the corner, and you're looking to buy a gift for me, I thought I'd get that in there. But when this Christmas comes around the corner, you know, don't romanticize what Christmas is all about. It's all about how Jesus gave it all up so that he could come and be born here and so that he could really bring unity within the body of Christ. Jesus emerged as a baby who could not speak. He could not eat solid food. He couldn't control his bladder. And he depended on a poor teenage mother for housing, for food, and for love. Our Savior laid it all down so that we could have unity in the body of Christ. Then he lived in desperate poverty in a backwater town that was of such bad reputation that they said nothing could ever come from its inhabitants, but yet they did. And then he exercised the ultimate humility when he willingly submitted himself to death on a cross. Folks, let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In the body of Christ today, if God has done so much in our life and he has changed us, then we need to live like that. We need to be the person that we claim to be. No more hypocrites. And we need to let that unity of Christ flow through everything we do, starting right here, right now, this morning. And I'm not thinking of something specific that's happening. There's nothing I know of. I'm usually the last one to know anyway. But I just want us to realize that as we move forward, as we move to another location, as we think about going forward, we can reach this city for Jesus, but it starts with a unity that truly comes because of what Christ has done for us. Do you have that this morning? Do you have that benefit that you're celebrating and rejoicing because of what Jesus has done? Are you being encouraged and lifted up? If so, then let that leak out through your life every day, every hour, and so that we can continue to grow and be that church triumphant that God wants us to be. Let's stand together. Our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, and thank you for preserving those words that were written to the church at Philippi that is really just as relevant for us today. Lord, this morning, as a church, we know that, Lord, I know that I can't make us to love one another. I can't make us to spend time with one another. I can't make us to sacrifice for one another. Lord, I know that I can't do any of that. But Lord, if your spirit is here, if your presence is truly a part of our church, God, let us be one. Let us be to the point where we're willing to lay our lives down. Let us be there for one another when a baby's being born or when a sickness is there, when someone's hurting or lonely or frustrated. God, if we've been the recipient of those words of encouragement, let's pass it on to someone else. So God, today, speak to our hearts. Help us to be one. Not just in name, but God, help us to be one. Help us, Lord, not to have any hypocrisy a part of us. Help us to put aside any hidden agendas. Help us to lay down our hurts and our frustrations, which might keep us from really opening up our lives to someone else. Maybe there's some hurts that we're still hanging on to, and because of that, we can't really reach out to someone else because we're still hurting ourselves. Lord, break those chains. Let them fall, even this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Break those chains. Let them drop. Set us free as a church to worship you and to let that worship change our world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.